Our church is all about three basic commitments. We've talked about them before. Let's just remind ourselves. Everything we do should revolve around fulfilling and honoring these three sentences, these three commitments that we personalize. We've made them first person. I commit to Jesus. Matter of fact, I'll say them and you repeat them. I commit to Jesus. I commit to His followers. I commit to His world. Those three commitments are the basis of why we exist. But as a church, we're seeking to take those three commitments and to live them out, to bring them forth in some key areas. We had a group of people who made a month's study, almost 2 years of study, who brought some recommendations, some formal written recommendations back to our church back last year. And they dealt with taking those three commitments and working through them in ministries over the next 5 years. We set 5 years as a good period of time because it's reachable, it's doable, and then we can always be ready to head the direction God wants us to head. And those specific areas, four of them, involve the following: discipleship, telling His story, which is basically marketing, telling the story of Jesus, telling the story of who we are as a church, missions, and strengthening families. We're spending a few weeks reminding ourselves not only of those three basic commitments, but of those four areas that we're seeking to target over the next 4 to 5 years. Today, we're off to a good start. We talked a couple weeks ago about our commitment to Jesus. We talked last week about our commitment to the followers of Jesus. We want to combine that I commit to His world and missions in those plans for the next 4 to 5 years. We want to put those together and spend some time talking about them. Jimmy did a great job of challenging us. And if I heard anything he said, I was most struck by the phrase, this isn't about FBC, but it is about Y-O-U. It's about you and me. Missions. We're all over the map, many of us, over what that means. If we say we believe in missions, what does that mean? If we call ourselves a mission-minded or a missional church, how do we show that we are just that? Well, we go back to Scripture. And we find in God's Word in the Bible that missions is much more than just one event. And it's not just to one specific area, but it begins where we are and then moves out from there to the far reaches of the world. And there is no better example of that than the story we find in the Old Testament, the story of Jonah. Jonah has a book named after him. He is considered one of those prophets that's called a minor prophet. Remember, major prophet, minor prophet. I know baseball season has started, but the comparison ends there. Major doesn't have anything to do with major prophets being more important or in having a bigger audience than a minor prophet. It's solely on length. The major prophets, Isaiah, 66 chapters. Ezekiel, bunches of chapters. Those minor prophets are brief. They're shorter, just as important, but they're easier to read, easier to condense. Jonah, for instance, is only 4 chapters. And if you take just a moment, wouldn't take you that long. I suggest that you go home and read these 4 chapters if you haven't yet. But let me just give you a brief synopsis of what these 4 chapters tell us. And then we want to make some comments relating it to missions, not being just about a church, FBC, but about being the members of that church and others, Y-O-U, you and me. Jonah was walking with God, and God gave Jonah a task. And that task was to deliver a message, a prophecy, to the people in an area called, a city called Nineveh, a very wicked and rebellious city. The story tells us that when Jonah received this word, he didn't go to Nineveh, but he ran as far away from God as he possibly could. He got into a boat, into a ship, and sought to go as far as he could, heading west and not east from where he lived. That's where Nineveh would be, but he headed in the opposite direction. It was then that the ship was beset by a storm. And you remember after some deliberations, Jonah realized and admitted to the crew that they could throw over all the cargo they wanted, but it wouldn't make any difference. Jonah said, I'm the reason that you're having this problem. Throw me overboard. And they did. And the storm stilled, but Jonah's fate was wrapped up in the jaws of a big fish. He was swallowed by a sea creature, and he stayed in that sea creature for 3 days before, it's interesting, it was the fish that caught a man and threw him back. And that's exactly what happened. Jonah then went to Nineveh and gave the prophecy, fulfilled the assignment that God gave for him. And then in the last chapter, Jonah, having relative success in delivering that prophecy, became angry with God. And it was all over this idea of missions. What does it mean? How do I live it out? How does it affect a church? How does it affect a community? How does it affect a world? That's the story of Jonah in a nutshell. Now, keep in mind, some people are going to view Jonah's story as, I don't want to say make-believe, but figurative. They're going to doubt that it really happened. I've never had a problem understanding that Jonah was a real story. Jesus talks about Jonah in the New Testament, and it's very clear that Jesus understood and knew that Jonah's story was literally true. If you believe in a God who created all things out of nothing, it would be nothing for God to arrange the circumstances for the lesson to be learned and for that lesson to be taught to generations that would follow. Jonah's story, literally true, brings us amazing truths. Some people say he was swallowed, and they say Jonah and the big whale. And that's where you need to be careful, because the word is not whale. It is big fish in the Hebrew. So it wasn't a large whale that you would think of, but it was something else. And when Jonah was tossed into that sea, he was swallowed by that big fish. And he stayed there, living, breathing, praying, till he was finally rescued. But what does all of this story that happened so many years ago, what does it really have to say to you and to me? Well, I want you to consider a few things. This is the one place where one prophecy is given that never came true. Of all the prophecies in Scripture, they all were fulfilled. They all came true as they were spoken. But in Jonah, one prophecy, it's the example of the only place in Scripture where one prophecy was spoken and it never happened. It's Jonah chapter 3, verse 4, where it says, and this is after Jonah has had the experience of running away, had the experience of being swallowed by a big fish, having the experience of being spat back up, and then going to Nineveh and fulfilling what God had asked him to do, and that was to deliver this prophecy. Jonah began to go through the city one day's walk, and he cried out and he said, yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. Never happened. 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. The one place in Scripture where a prophecy is given where it didn't come true. Folks, add to it this. In the Old Testament, there are 16 Old Testament prophets. I'm talking about guys who have a book with their name on it that are considered to be the prophets. There are 16 of them, including Jonah. And Jonah is the only one of those 16 that rebels against God. And he doesn't rebel just once, but he rebels twice. It's incredible. And it all has to do with missions. What does it mean? How does it involve you and me? You see, Jonah was given an opportunity to step outside the box, to step outside his own comfort zone, and to reach out and to do missions. And as soon as he was given that responsibility, the Bible says he rebelled. I said he rebelled not once but twice. Count them. Rebellion number one. The message to deliver to Nineveh is given to Jonah. That's in chapter 1. God says, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh and I want you to give this word. I want you to speak this prophecy. And as soon as God commanded Jonah to deliver that message, Jonah set sail in the opposite direction. That's rebellion number one. The Bible says he headed for a place called Tarshish. The problem there is there's no identifiable place or spot on the map with such a name. Scholars have looked and searched and they've come up with several options, and they're probably good, but one of the best is there is a hint that the word Tarshish in Hebrew really is a general word for the open sea, which tells us that when Jonah sought to run away from God, he didn't care where he went. He just wanted to go. He just wanted to head the opposite direction. So he got booked passage on a boat, on a ship that was heading opposite, heading from Israel west across the Mediterranean, where Nineveh was several hundred miles to the east. But that's just rebellion number one. Rebellion number two is Nineveh is spared. When Jonah goes and delivers that prophecy, yet in 40 days Nineveh will be overthrown. It never comes to pass because God forgave, because God honored Jonah's commitment and spared the city of Nineveh. And that's rebellion number two, because when Nineveh was spared, Jonah got angry with God for sparing the city, for saving the city. And it's all about missions. It's all about one person's view that what? That they don't deserve the message that I received that saved me? That it really doesn't matter? Unbelievable. 16 Old Testament prophets delivering prophecy after prophecy. And only one of those prophecies never comes true. And that's the prophecy that Nineveh would fall in 40 days. And the reason she didn't fall was because she repented of her wrongdoing. And yet, we see that everyone involved in this story obeyed God except Jonah. God's own prophet is the only one who wouldn't obey God. Think about it. The sailors in the boat, they obeyed. Toss me overboard. I'm the reason you're having this trouble. They obeyed. If you want to get technical about it, the big fish obeyed. He was there at the right time. God so ordained everything so that the big fish would swallow this human body and keep it for 3 days. My goodness, even the king of Nineveh, a rebellious, immoral leader, ended up obeying God, but not God's prophet, not Jonah. He chose to rebel not once. He chose to rebel twice. And see, when you really think about it, Jonah delivered this message that never came through, this prophecy. 40 days in Nineveh will be destroyed, and it never came true because they turned back to the living God. And in a sense, Nineveh was 120,000 people, and all of them were spared. Now, some scholars will say that only counted the men, that you've got women and children who normally weren't counted in the population or in the census. And if that be the case, we have way more than 120,000. But let's just go with what the scripture says. Jonah delivers a message which saves 120,000 people. And what did he consider himself to be? A failure. See, something's wrong here. Something's out of sync here. And it's all about one's understanding of mission, of what we're to be about as God's people. To rebel not once but twice, and then to give a prophecy that never comes true because the people obey, and to spare 120,000 souls, and to be hacked off at God, and to pout, and to ask God to just take your life, that you want to die, to consider yourself to be a miserable failure. Why? Because God's view of salvation and forgiveness is bigger than yours or mine. That's what's going on here. You see, this story to me brings out some principles, some statements that we need to constantly remember. God's love is not limited to just certain people groups. Folks, it's not either or. It's both and. I've heard well-meaning people in all the churches I've served in my years of doing what I do. And it seems that every church has this dynamic in it, this pull, this tugging, this under-the-surface tension, and it involves missions. And simply stated, it's this attitude. You've got people in a congregation who firmly believe that we need to put all of our eggs in one basket, and that's right here at home. And then you have people on the other side that say we need to give our best efforts to places far away from here that many of us will never see, where we will never travel ourselves. And then you've got everything else in between, and people of all persuasions building a case for going this far, doing this or doing that. And we seem to box God in to make it where it's either or. And especially if they're different from us, then what do? When we're given the opportunity to be missional, to do what God has asked us to do, we do and pull a Jonah. We head the opposite way. And for many of us, it doesn't matter where we go. We just want to get away. We just don't want to have to face the commitment and the cost. But we need to remember that if Jonah's story tells us anything, it's that God's love is not limited to just certain people groups. And that was Jonah's problem. He was a messenger of God, an Old Testament prophet. He was a Jew. And he felt, just by the way he was brought up, that everyone else, all the heathen, pagan parts of the world that were not encircled by Israel, by God's chosen people, could all perish as far as he was concerned. This is God's prophet. And it has everything to do with a misunderstanding of missions. Folks, it is both and. Jimmy just explained, people in our own church who their involvement in things right here at home were strengthened by things that happened far away. God's mercy and love is for all people. And our mission as a church, our mission as a church is never either or. We either go there or we go here, but we don't do both. But it is starting from where we are and moving out from there. God is eager to forgive and slow to punish. How else can you explain the one prophecy that didn't happen in Scripture? I mean, this was God's message given to Jonah to give to the people of Nineveh. Walk through the city. It'll take you one whole day to walk the streets of Nineveh. And I want you to stand on every corner. I want you to preach my word, which says, in 40 days, Nineveh will fall. It didn't happen. And why? Because you see, God's nature is to forgive, is to love, is not to condemn. And everyone and everything ultimately yields to God. You read this little story, this episode from Jonah's life from beginning to end, four brief chapters. And you'll find the ultimate conclusion is every single person involved in this story understood at one time or another that they must yield to God. And everything, and I'm counting the big fish and the storm and everything that God is in charge. God is Lord over all things. He has power over all of the elements. And you see in sweeping fashion in these four brief chapters that everything revolving around missions is touched upon. And every misunderstanding that you and I may have about what our mission is as a church to take the message of Christ to a lost and dying world, where does that begin and where does it end and what does it look like? It's all covered in these four little chapters. And the basic premise is everyone and everything yields to God. That should be an encouragement. It should also serve as a warning. And yet you have God's messenger, Jonah, the only of 16 Old Testament prophets that turns and rebels against God, not once and not twice. You have God's prophet who does finally obey. And when a city is saved and 120,000 people are spared, he is aggravated and agitated that God would show such love and mercy to people who were so rebellious. Hard to imagine, isn't it? Now, jump ahead with me 150 years from Jonah's time. Nineveh eventually did fall. 150 years after Jonah's revival, if we want to call it that. Nineveh, having been spared, having turned back to God, and whatever that means in civic life and how the people treated others and how they operated from that point on, seemingly for 150 years, they were on track. And then, gradually, as so many of us do and so many civilizations do, we begin to back away. We begin to rebel. We begin to slide. And we find ourselves in the same situation as before. And in 612 BC, the Babylonian Empire destroyed Nineveh. But it didn't destroy all the people of Nineveh. What am I saying? History tells us that, yes, Nineveh never was free again. The citizens, the government of Nineveh, always seemed to serve under someone else. They always seem to be ruled by another empire, be it Babylon or Persia or whoever. But there were still people there who believed. And you follow the steps of history and you will find that some of the strongest believers in that those first years of the early church were from Assyria, from this area of Nineveh. Strong converts, faithful people, who are responsible for the stability and the growth in that earliest of congregations. Why? Because of missions. Because of a prophet who rebelled not once but twice. Because of a prophet who felt that saving 120,000 people categorized him as a colossal failure. Who never seemed to understand and get it, that missions is really the heartbeat of who and what we do. That taking a message of salvation to a lost and dying world begins where we are and goes to every people group on the face of the earth. And as God leads churches, as God leads people to fulfill that mission call, it's because of them. Not FBC, but Y-O-U. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to call upon your name, to hear your word, to have the truth presented to us in a way that hopefully should make us uncomfortable. Help us to realign our actions and our words, our church's mission with yours. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. We conclude this service with a time of invitation and a song of commitment. It could be that the biggest problem we have here today is we're all a bunch of Jonas in reality. Oh, we talk a good talk and we can sing the hymns with the best of them, and we know all the words of the important scriptures. But when it comes to the real heart of what God wants us to do, we say no. And we pout like a prophet did long ago. And we consider the salvation of a group of people as failure. Why? Because they're different from us. So maybe the biggest life change today simply needs to be among God's people. To ask God to forgive us. And to be thankful that there is one prophecy that never came to pass, at least in biblical times, as best we can tell. Because people got the message and they obeyed. So how would that change your life today? If you're a believer, if you're a follower of Jesus, if you've been asked to serve, if you've been asked to participate in some mission project right around where you live, or maybe far from here. Let the message and the lesson of Jonah affect the way that we live. And then there could always be people here in a room like ours that have yet to step across that line of faith and say, yes, I will follow Jesus. I know his name wasn't mentioned in this Old Testament book, but as I said before, Jesus talked about Jonah on more than one occasion and talked about the sign of Jonah. That as Jonah stayed in the belly of a big fish for 3 days, so the Son of Man would be in the tomb for 3 days, but then conquer death. If you want that kind of power in your life, it comes with a decision. It comes with the acceptance of the Lordship of Christ in your life. God's paid the price through Christ on the cross. It's up to us to receive it. So if that's the decision you want to make in your life today, there'll be ministers and deacons standing here. Perhaps joining forces with a church like this church is where you feel you need to be. Not that we're perfect, because we're certainly not. But a church that follows those commitments to Jesus, to his followers, and to his world, certainly you can't go wrong in a church like that. In a church that will allow you to use your gifts and talents to participate in missions. You can't go wrong with a church like that. So we invite you to join with us. And if joining our church, officially becoming part of our church, is what you want to do today, how do you do that? You come forward. If you simply want someone to pray for you today, Liz and Ray are down here on the floor, Lon's up in the balcony, folks that believe in the power of prayer and are simply here to pray with you and for you. That's our invitation. I ask you to stand. We sing. Won't you respond as God leads?